This show was first broadcast on Free FM 89.0, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access radio station. For more information on our station and our wide range of programs, visit freefm.org.nz.
This show is brought to you by the Buddhist Youth Association every Sunday, bringing Buddhism to the community of the Waikato. We also give away a range of free English or Chinese Buddhism books, MP3 or tapes on Buddhism. If you'd like one, please send a letter with $3 worth of stamps in an envelope to P.O. Box 82146, Highland Park, Howick, Auckland. Or you can phone 09271 3377. Buddhist Youth Association, respectful, beneficial, empowering. Welcome again to our Dharma program, in which we're following the graduated path to enlightenment as taught in the Tibetan Gelugpa tradition. For the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been discussing karma and how it works. But before we continue the topic, let's take a moment, as we usually do, to examine our motivation. I've said many times that motivation is the most important part of any action. So for an action to turn out well, our motivation must be positive. This being a Dharma activity, it's especially relevant for us. So let's motivate that this program will be the cause for enlightenment, not only for ourselves, but everyone else as well. Thank you. Now, you may not think that a program such as this one could possibly be the cause for the enlightenment of all beings, but just say it's a cause for your enlightenment, and then in one lifetime you're able to lead just 20 disciples to enlightenment. Each of them leads another 20 to that state, and each of those shows yet another 20 how to get there, and so on. In due course, millions of beings will become enlightened with the help of this one program. So, motivating to lead all sentient beings to enlightenment through participating in this program is not so silly. Anyway, let's get back to the main topic, karma. Do you remember the 4 main characteristics of karma? The first is that karma is definite. Good deeds bring happy results, bad deeds bring suffering. The second is that karma multiplies, so that a small deed, positive or negative, can have a very large effect. Then thirdly, deeds not done do not bring results. If you don't participate in an action, it will not have a result for you. And fourthly, if you do an action, it will inevitably have an effect, even after a very long time. It's good to remember these 4 basic qualities of karma, as they have a profound effect on our actions. Then over the last 2 weeks, we looked at the 10 actions we should definitely avoid at all costs if we want happiness in our future lives. They are called the 10 non-virtues, and include 3 of body, that is killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct, 4 of speech, lying, slander, harsh speech, and gossip, and 3 of mind, wrong view, harmful thoughts to others, and covetousness. We said that in committing them, whether they are a complete karma depends on whether the object, motivation, act, and conclusion are all complete. So, for instance, if you decide to steal your neighbor's car, the object is the car, the motivation is to take something belonging to someone else, the act is actually taking the car you intended to, and the conclusion is to happily think the car is now yours. That would be a complete karma that will throw you into a very unhappy rebirth sometime in the future. If just one of the conditions is missing or incorrect, as in, for instance, by mistake you steal your neighbor's son's car instead of the car that you had your eye on, the karma accumulated will not be strong enough to throw you into a rebirth, though it will cause you a lot of unpleasantness within the future life itself. So, just to remind ourselves of the way a complete karma works, let's conduct a thought experiment. First, sit in a comfortable position and focus your mind on your breath, letting all the thoughts pass on by like clouds swiftly passing through the sky. Now imagine yourself in a situation in which you have the opportunity to steal something you really like. It may be from a shop or from someone else's home. Watch the mind grasping at the object, the desire to own it, and how the more the mind dwells on it, the more desirable it becomes. Notice the focus on the object and the attachment the mind has developed towards the object. Perhaps you never had any idea of owning such an object until you saw it, but now so much desire has developed for it. And now imagine taking it for yourself. Oh. and imagine you feel so joyful assuming ownership of it, using it and enjoying it, really thinking it is yours from now on. So now the act is complete in all aspects. You stole the object you intended to, you had a clear motivation driven by attachment, you did the act and rejoiced in it afterwards. The theft is therefore capable of throwing you into a coming life. Imagine that life is in the preta realm, where it's very difficult to get resources, like food or drink, no matter what you do. The place you live in is like a desert, rocky and unpleasant, with no streams or rivers, and very little rainfall. Nothing grows, and there are lots of others like you scrounging around for something, anything to eat and drink. You're so hungry and thirsty, you will even suck on someone else's snot, but you can't even find that lying around. But no matter how hungry or thirsty you are, you can't die, but just carry on day after day due to the strong karma. Try to see how this kind of existence is a direct result of the theft. Okay, now please come out of meditation. As we said before, once we commit a non-virtue, if we don't purify it, it will definitely have a result. So if we do steal something, as we did in our meditation, it will without doubt in due course throw up a result for us, and we can be sure that result will be unpleasant. How unpleasant it will be depends on a number of factors. For instance, whether the action is of body, speech, or mind. Bodily actions, killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct, create the heaviest type of karma, and in that order. Actions of speech come next, the heaviest being lying, then slander, harsh words, and finally gossip. The mental actions are the least heavy, and they range in heaviest to lightest from wrong view to harmful thoughts to others and covetousness. Actually, wrong view is counted as very destructive because it so easily gives rise to many other non-virtues. For instance, if you think the karmic law of cause and effect is just something an ancient prince dreamed up to keep his subjects under control, as I've heard one doctor said, you will then think nothing of committing any of the other non-virtues like killing, stealing, and so on, because you will think you will be able to get away with them. So, just through that wrong way of looking at things, you will accumulate a multitude of negative karmas. Another thing that makes a karmic action heavy is how much the object of the action is spiritually developed. If we commit a negative action against an arhat or bodhisattva, for instance, the result will be much more serious than if we did the same action against an ordinary person. And the karma collected by harming an animal is lighter than that collected from harming a human. Buddhas are the heaviest object for the creation of karma. Even wounding a Buddha is heavier than killing an arhat. So making an offering to a Buddha of even a small flower can have a very beneficial result, because the Buddha is such a powerful karmic object. In terms of object, it is also worse to harm someone who has been kind to you than another person who is not. So, for instance, if you steal from your parents, you're doing much more harm to yourself than if you steal from someone you didn't know. That doesn't mean, of course, that it's okay to steal from a stranger. You might still land up in a preta realm, though if you stole from your parents, you would, in comparison, find yourself in a hell. Your intention also plays a big part in the heaviness of the karmic result. As you can imagine, if you kill someone out of great hatred, you will be in for a much worse time than if you did so purely by accident, not meaning to kill anyone at all. I have heard that when the communists invaded Tibet, the soldiers sometimes made monastic students shoot their teacher. In such a case, the student, who did not wish to kill at all, accumulates much, much lighter karma than the soldier, who out of hatred for the Tibetans forced murder on the student, even though the student did the action and the soldier didn't. In fact, the soldier collected two karmas, that of killing and that of making someone else kill. Intention also means that what is normally a lighter karmic action can become more weighty than a more serious action. Say, for example, driver A cuts in front of driver B, who gets into a huge rage. He speeds up until he's alongside driver A, swearing and cursing at him, shaking his fists and threatening to do all sorts of terrible things to him, until driver A is really terrified. Driver B would collect much heavier karma than if, when he was cut off, he'd been unable to stop his car crashing into driver A's car and accidentally killed him. Of course, I'm assuming now that driver B is remorseful about the accident and doesn't get into the same kind of rage, perhaps rejoicing in driver A's death. The amount of suffering inflicted also influences the heaviness of the result. So, for instance, if knowing someone's vulnerability, you attack it until they feel really terrible, you will experience a heavier result than if you just insult them offhandedly. Some restaurants, as you probably know, have a number of crayfish in a tank, one or more of which you can choose to have prepared for you. Sometimes these crayfish are dropped alive into boiling water to suffer terribly before they die. By killing them in this way, a chef, and by extension the diner, collects heavier karma than if the crayfish had been killed swiftly because of the amount of suffering involved. Also, the more you repeat an action, the heavier the karma becomes. So, for instance, someone who is very fond of hunting and fishing, and I think many New Zealanders are, makes their negative karma heavier and heavier by constantly going out on killing expeditions. The negative karma builds up continually until at the end of their life, a hunter-fisher will have a very powerful store of negative karma to face. As I mentioned last week, repetition can make a very slight negative karma become much more heavy than the worst of the 10 non-virtues. If you gossip only once or twice, the karma created is much lighter than if you kill only once or twice. But gossip has this power to coerce people to do it again and again. It seems easy to create a habit out of gossiping, and once that is set, gossip can become karmically much heavier than a single killing, just through the continual repetition. Finally, because karma increases, if we don't purify it by applying an antidote, it will increase in seriousness and weight over time. In this way, a small negative action can produce a very heavy suffering result. Buddhist teachers often stress the importance of doing purification practices, and later on in these programs we will go through the four opponent powers, which are calculated to weaken, or if done intensely enough, completely eliminate the effects of negative karma. So those are the six factors that make our negative karma heavier. Once again, they are the amount of suffering inflicted, which means that, in terms of seriousness, the 10 non-virtues, starting from the most serious to the least, are killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, slander, harsh words, gossip, wrong view, harmful thoughts to others, and covetousness. That is the first. The second is heaviness according to the object. Harming a Buddha collects much heavier karma than harming an ordinary person. Intention is the third. The more intense the intention, the heavier the karma. And the means of harming is the fourth. So skinning an animal alive, like some Chinese do for their restaurants, is much heavier than killing with a single shot. The fifth is frequency. The more we indulge in a non-virtuous action, the heavier we make the karma. And the last is not purifying or applying some action to nullify the karma. With the right practice and intense regret, any karma can be purified. So although we are constantly creating negative karma, we don't need to despair. It's a very good idea to do purification practices every day and keep mindful of our actions so that when the inclination to create a negative action arises, we can immediately counteract it. But now time is up and we must part. Please dedicate any positive potential from this program to gaining enlightenment, not only for yourself, but for all beings. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope you'll be with us again next week. Goodbye. This show is brought to you by the Buddhist Youth Association every Sunday, bringing Buddhism to the community of the Waikato. We also give away a range of free English or Chinese Buddhism books, MP3, or tapes on Buddhism. If you'd like one, please send a letter with $3 worth of stamps in an envelope to P.O. Box 82146, Highland Park, Howick, Auckland. Or you can phone 09271 3377. Buddhist Youth Association, respectful, beneficial, empowering.
For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, please visit freefm.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast possible by funding the Access Internet Radio Project.